Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Back in on the drive. Also, some big news in football today. I was going to say the NFL, but it definitely ain't the NFL. The XFL is planning on, for one of its organizations, naming Bob Stoops as a coach on Thursday. Bob Stoops will be the coach and general manager of the Dallas team. That is the hot rumor right now circulating in football circles.
I thought you were going to tell me the XFL folded.
No, it is not folded.
Yeah, I was about to say, I didn't believe that this was actually going to happen, but if Stoops is involved, I think this might be real.
I'm looking forward to the Alliance of American Football. Steve Spurrier's coaching in that league. I want to see it. I want to see what they're doing with that one. Yeah, the XFL ain't going to make it. Come on now.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that both of them are probably not going to make it, but certainly for sure, both of them are not going to make it. I mean, one, maybe, I would say no. I mean, I feel like we've seen a lot of these companies try to do their own football thing opposite the NFL, and none of them ever work. So, I mean, the strong money would be on it not working, but both teams are giving it the good old college try. Coming up in about 15 minutes, Fanning upset some K-State fans yesterday talking about court storming. We'll read some of the mean tweets that were sent to him. Plus, Bruce in Manhattan called me today. Hit my line. We will play for you the conversation with Bruce in Manhattan. We'll do that coming up in just a little bit. I'll probably get called a KU hater at some point because I have a strong take against Bill Self.
Was Bruce liquored up in Aggieville last night or what?
You know, I mean, if you beat KU for the first time in your last nine tries, you'd be in a good mood too. Right. So we'll play that for you guys coming up in just a little bit. So yesterday, an idea went off in my head. It's like a light bulb. Legero Vick, for some reason, passed the ball to Bill Self. Bill Self did not seem very pleased by it. And it was one of them situations that you knew instantly once he passed the ball to Bill Self that he was coming out of the game. I knew it. Legero Vick knew it. Everybody watching that game knew what was going to happen yesterday. And then I think back to the first half of Legero Vick got benched for Charlie Moore.
Now, I like the way Charlie Moore plays. I don't think he's a starting guard, but I like the way Charlie Moore plays.
Charlie Moore should be playing in a game like yesterday. Okay. Now, he came in and gave you some quality minutes, but Charlie Moore just should be playing those games. Maybe next year he'll be ready for it. Maybe in two years. But just if you take out Legero Vick after 4 minutes and you throw in Charlie Moore, to me that's sending a message of we've had this conversation time and time again. You aren't listening. Here, I'll show you. Charlie Moore, you've been doing well in practice. Go in there and give me some effort. And Charlie did his thing, but I think we can agree right now Charlie Moore maybe a little short on talent. So it made me think of something. I have created my all Bill Self doghouse team. Mm-hmm. I'm talking of during the streak, during this run, some players that clearly got under the skin of Bill Self. Because you know Bill has his guys. Bill gets emotional about Sharon. Ask Bill about Sharon, Bill might start crying. Ask him about Jamari Traylor, he might start crying. But there's some kind of guys you know Bill's tough on, like Perry Ellis. Man, every December you knew that Bill was going to have the toughness conversation with Perry Ellis in front of everybody. And you just knew he was hard on Perry. Not saying he didn't love Perry, but you knew that he was hard on Perry Ellis. So I have created my starting five for the all Bill Self doghouse roster.
Mm-hmm.
The captain of my team is Brandon Green. Yeah. Brandon Green is the captain of the Bill Self doghouse all-stars.
He's wearing the C on the jersey?
You want to know how I know Bill Self hated Brandon Green? And I'm going to use the term hated in this. They had a trip to the Maui Invitational. Can you imagine you're 20 and you get an opportunity to go on a free trip with your friends to Maui? A once-in-a-lifetime kind of trip?
Yeah. Play some ball, play in a tournament.
Brandon Green had to stay home. How do you get suspended? Not like an NCAA suspension, a team suspension from going to the Maui Invitational. Think about this. After that dunk in the K-State game a couple years ago, Bill Self wouldn't even say Brandon Green's name afterwards. Let me find this audio clip really quick. This is Self after the Brandon Green dunk. He won't even say the kid's name.
I'd like to first apologize to the K-State team and their program, coaches, players, for the unsportsmanlike act that one of our players did at the end of the game that was totally classless. So I guarantee you it never happened again. So I apologize about that.
I mean, that's like Bill Self, or excuse me, Bill Parcells and Terrell Owens when he called him the player.
One of our players. He started his press conference off in a win, apologizing for one of his players. Brandon Green, he is the captain of my all Bill Self doghouse team. Good old Nadir Tharp.
Oh, man, I thought he'd be the captain. Can he be a co-captain?
He's not on my team. He might be on your team.
Yeah.
On my team, it's Brandon Green. He is the Steph Curry of my team. Good old Nadir Tharp. You guys remember scrolling on Instagram. Maybe you saw the picture on Facebook.
Had the situation with
maybe you saw it on Twitter.
With a teacher, wasn't it, or a principal?
Oh, I forgot about that.
Good old Nadir Tharp.
Yeah.
I don't think Self liked him a whole lot before that moment. But you're telling me that he's kicking off Agbaji if we saw a picture like that? No, Agbaji gets a one-game suspension. For Nadir Tharp to be kicked off of that tells me he deserves a place on the all-Bill Self doghouse team. This guy's earned it. Legero Vic is definitely first team.
Yeah.
Think about it like this.
Bill didn't even want him back.
Self ran him off the team the first time.
Yeah.
And clearly took him back out of necessity. And I think that Bill Self, if you ask him in a private moment, like if you're out having a nice drink with him at the Oread, I think Self tells you, and I wish Legero had stayed gone from this team, but they needed him. They gave his number away, wanted nothing to do with Legero Vic.
Yeah.
Look at the energy he has toward Legero Vic. He is on my first team, all Bill Self doghouse team. Now you need some size. Now you need some big guys. I also need a little bit of athleticism. I'm taking J.R. Giddens.
It's a good one.
I'm taking J.R. Giddens on the all Bill Self doghouse team. You want to talk about ran off. If you want to look at a college program and look at ran off, J.R. Giddens is taking a selfie in that picture. Self absolutely ran off J.R. Giddens. He is my swing four.
I thought he was going to be so good.
He was super athletic. It just, him and Self, for some reason, it just did not work. And last, I need some size on this team. I need my big guy. I need a bucket getter down low. I'm taking Carlton Bragg. Carlton Bragg had like a three-week stretch where he was constantly in trouble. Anytime it reaches the point where Bill has to do a press conference based on your actions, that earns you first team all Bill Self doghouse. So that's my team. I got Tharp, Green, Vic, Bragg, and Giddens on my first team all Bill Self doghouse roster.
I got Green, I got Tharp, and I got Vic on there for sure. I would have made Nadir Tharp my captain. He was an absolute mess. The other two guys I put on there, I got Tyshawn Taylor on there. He was always having an issue with Tyshawn Taylor. I mean, Tyshawn Taylor took care of some business in Allen Fieldhouse, from what I understand.
That's the rumor.
He had his lady in Allen Fieldhouse and christened the field house.
I can't really fault the guy for being a college student trying to have a bucket list either.
I don't fault him for that.
I ain't really mad at him.
You can't get caught, though, man. If Tyshawn got caught, Tyshawn was always a pain in the ass for Bill Self. So I got Tyshawn on there.
But the reason I don't think Tyshawn deserves to be on this list is Tyshawn did help get them to a national championship.
He did.
So Tyshawn maybe was a headache for the first 3 years. I remember being there. It was senior year. They played Ohio State at home, and I remember Jared Sullinger didn't play in that game.
Yeah.
And then it was like, for some reason, the light just clicked for Tyshawn Taylor. I mean, he turned himself into an NBA player the last 20 games at KU.
Yeah.
So I think he's done enough to avoid being on the all doghouse roster.
You can still be a good player and still be in the doghouse with Bill Self.
All right, that's fine.
I'm putting Malik Newman on there, too. I mean, I think Malik Newman and Bill Self did not jive at all until we got into postseason play last year. Malik Newman didn't want any part of what Bill Self was teaching and coaching for the longest time. So Malik Newman's on there, and I'm going to put the Morris twins.
You're putting both of them?
Yeah. I mean, didn't they get in a fight with a football team over at the Oread?
Apparently they won.
Yeah. So
that actually makes a lot of sense given KU's football team.
KU's football team was decent back then. That was Mangino-ish right around there, wasn't it? So I got the Morris twins. And then as a bonus, I think you need a coach. You need a chaperone for the squad. I'm going to go with Connor Frankamp's dad. I think he's going to be on there. He was the helicopter parent that ended up getting Connor Frankamp back to Wichita State. So that's who I have on there.
I just look at Legero Vic and the reason why this topic even comes up of just you can see the frustration on Bill's face. Like you can legitimately see how frustrated he is with Legero Vic on a game in, game out basis. And I'll continue to say it for this KU team that I'm a firm believer that your team takes on the personality of its leader. And they've got one senior on this team. It's Legero Vic, and this team is inconsistent because he's inconsistent. You could just tell yesterday, for whatever reason, man, the energy was just off with the General Vic yesterday. I mean, you play 4 minutes, self-benches you. He doesn't put you in the back of the first half. Like, I don't think he really wanted to put him in. Like, we were making fun of Chauncey Billups. We all were shocked that he came back in the game. After that turnover in the second half, I thought he was done for the rest of the day. I was surprised that he came back in the game. Now, he came back in, and he kind of settled down a little bit, and I think he knew that was his last opportunity. But you can tell that Self has had conversations with Vic and conversations with him and tried to coach him up and tried to coach him up. And for whatever reason, it is just not working with Legero Vic, man. So I'm telling you, I mean, he could have an argue. Like, he might be the co-captain of the All Bill Self doghouse team, because yesterday it was obvious that Self was not having it with him yesterday.
No, and look, just his body language too on the bench. I mean, when the cameras would cut to Vic on the bench, and he's just sitting there like he didn't care. I mean, and I don't know if this to be the case or not, but the body language told me that he didn't care. Like, I didn't feel like he was heavily invested in that game.
I just think that the body language for him, just like, he comes off to me, and I've never met the kid. He comes off to somebody that just gets down on himself. Like, after that turnover, you could just see the defeat in his face after he turned the ball over.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of thought that he wasn't coming back in the game for the rest of that. One thing, though, I guess we're talking about body language of, KU fans, you should give Silvio a lot of credit. Like, Silvio could very easily be at home, not around the team, pouting, very disappointed. Silvio was up and standing up and, like, Silvio is still a part of this team. I think you got to give Silvio a lot of credit for how he's handled what's happened to him over the last 4 or 5 months.
No, I agree with you, because my wife was asking me last night, we were watching the game, she's like, which one's the kid that got suspended? And I'm like, I don't know. Let me see when they take another shot of the bench. And Silvio was there.
He was there.
He was there supporting the squad, man. I'm with you.
Yeah, no, I mean, I give Silvio a lot of credit for how he's handled this team. Coming up in just a little bit, Fanning sent out a tweet about KU storming the court, and K-State fans let him have it. We'll tell you what he said coming up in just a little bit. Plus, Bruce in Manhattan called in. We'll tell you what the coach had to say coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Do you guys want to have any conversation today about how KU basketball's road record is worse than KU's football road record? Or are we just going
to
leave that off the run? I didn't know if
we
you
can
guys,
go that. We can go there. If you
I didn't
want
know
to,
if
yeah.
you guys wanted to discuss that or not. I know I always get called a hater. I didn't know if
that's true.
That is true. KU football, they went 1-5 on the road this season. KU basketball currently sits at 1-6 on the road this season. So I didn't know if you guys maybe wanted to kind of look a little bit deeper into that, you know, with what's happening right now with KU. I didn't know. I didn't want to be the one to bring it up. Yeah. I thought it was kind of relevant.
But you were the one to
I thought it was kind of relevant.
Yeah.
And I didn't know if you guys wanted to talk about it or not. Coming up in just a little bit, we'll catch up with Bruce and Manhattan. He called the show, as you would imagine, Bruce. Very happy about his team's win yesterday in Manhattan, Kansas. So we'll talk to Bruce in Manhattan coming up in just a little bit. I will 100% be called a hater because I think that Bill's biggest weakness as the coach of KU is showing through, and I think his biggest strength is not coming through. We'll talk about that coming up in about 10 minutes or so. Plus, I have also ranked KU's biggest problems this year. We'll talk about that. But you sent a tweet off yesterday that said, quote, "Can you even storm the court when you beat the 13th ranked team in the country?" Now, you claim, I don't know, I wasn't there. I'm not inside your mind. You claim you meant nothing by it. But
I'm serious. I mean, I picked K-State to win this game, right?
But just as someone who considers themselves a KU fan, you can understand how K-State fans can take that as a little bit of a shot.
I understand that, but I was thinking about this, and I shot that tweet off last night. When we were coming towards the tail end of the game, and I kept thinking, man, this K-State team went to the Elite Eight. They were favored in this game, and they're playing the 13th ranked team in the country. So I'm like, does that necessarily qualify, you know, for storming the court? I mean, you were saying all day yesterday, C-Dot, it's not a rivalry. You know, so I'm like, okay, so it's not a rivalry in other people's eyes. It was an Elite Eight team last year. You were favored in the game, and you were playing number 13. Is that court storm worthy? It was a simple question.
Well, I think the rivalry in this is a little bit one-sided. But I think for Kansas State fans, it certainly is a rivalry.
Yeah.
I don't know if it is towards KU fans, and I think part of a rivalry has to be an equal level of hate. Alabama and Auburn equally hate each other. Mm-hmm. Missouri and Kansas equally hate each other. I think the K-State hates KU. I don't think KU hates K-State. Yeah. That's why I wouldn't consider it a rival.
Well, I got some hate last night on Twitter, so we're going to read these mean tweets.
You were out here taking shots at
K-State. I was not taking shots at them. It was a legitimate question.
In their moment of glory.
The tweet that I sent was, you can't storm the court when you beat the 13th ranked team in the country, can you? And then I got some hate. BK hit the tunes on this. We'll read the mean tweets. Some of the things that people said to me. This is from a guy named Kurt Henning. at Mr. Perfect WWF 69. Mm. Get the 69 in there.
You definitely don't want Mr. Perfect to get mad at.
No.
That's not good.
So here's what he said to me after my tweet when I asked, you can't storm the court when you beat the 13th ranked team in the country, can you? He said, blank me to tears, double exclamation points. You are Fesco 2.0, exclamation point. And that guy is the gutter. Hashtag let that soak in. Why do you got to bring Bob into this? Bob didn't have anything to do with this. You want to be mad at me? You can be mad at me. Leave Fesco alone. That was from Kurt Henning. Here's another one.
He couldn't even call you real Fesco. He called you Fesco 2.0.
I know. Like, I'm like the JV version of Fesco.
You don't want to be that.
No. No. I want to be his equal. Okay.
At least I'd rather be super Fesco. You know what I mean? I'd rather be super Fesco than Fesco 2.0.
And this is from Stone Cold Mahomes Jones Dash Bronco at Soy You What. He gave me a Vince Vaughn gif. Oh, please don't take a turn to Negative Town. And then he called me Captain Negative for tweeting you can't storm the court when you beat the 13th ranked team in the country.
Maybe he meant to send that to me because I'm the real Captain Negative of this show.
Maybe he got us mixed up.
I'm a little jealous that people would give you my moniker.
Yeah.
I've earned that.
From Jared Loomis at JLoomis47. After I tweeted you can't storm the court when you beat the 13th ranked team in the country, can you? How could you possibly care how a bunch of college students celebrate a win against a rival they never beat? That was so insensitive, C-Dot. I mean, that was a nice mean tweet, right? I mean, that wasn't over the top.
I think that's a fair question.
Yeah. I mean, I think it's a fair question. All right, this one is from Win the Dang Day.
That's what K-State did.
Yeah, at KC Divisible, the Twitter handle. Are we having the are we storming the court argument again? Who cares? There's students who haven't seen KSU beat KU, and most KU fans are douchebags anyway. So, and then like 17 dots after that. Why you got to call KU fans names?
What's that saying, if the shoe fits? Oh, I'm not really sure how it works, but I feel like there's a saying, if the shoe fits, you know? I don't know. What I've heard.
He misspelled douche,
too. That's what I heard.
Like, if you're gonna come at somebody, you got to spell the bad word. That was from Win the Dang Day. At KC Divisible. Again, I sent out the tweet last night. You can't storm the court when you beat the 13th ranked team in the country, can you? Hashtag Sunflower Showdown. And then I got an Oprah gif. This is from Drew at Pono's KC. It's an Oprah gif. Said, you real mad. The funny thing was, I wasn't mad at all. I thought it was a legitimate question. K-State was favored in the game. Went to the Elite Eight last year. They're hosting the 13th ranked team in the country. They got the win and they stormed the court. And now some guy's throwing an Oprah gif at me, see, Don? Why you got to bring Oprah into this?
I don't know what Oprah did.
Nothing.
She probably wasn't even watching the game.
Yeah.
She's a lot like Chauncey Billups.
Yeah. She probably would have been better on the broadcast than Chauncey Billups.
100%.
I'd like to see Oprah on the broadcast of a KU game. And finally, after I sent the tweet, you can't storm the court when you beat the 13th ranked team in the country, can you? This is from Clint Thompson. At Clint TH 2602-6022. No idea what that means.
That was a lot of numbers.
It is a lot of numbers. Weren't you going on and on about what a big rivalry this was for K-State on the drive? Dude, you couldn't get off the point. Now, you want to downplay the importance of this for K-State fans by judging their reaction. You're hilarious. Good one. That was from Clint Thompson. He's actually a big listener of the show. I interacted with him a little bit on Twitter. So I appreciate you listening to the show, man. And those are the mean tweets, the people that came at me. Last night after K-State stormed the court and got the dub over Kansas.
This is what I don't, I guess, get about this and why KU fans respond this way. And I'm not saying you respond this way, but certainly some KU fans were. It's a sign of how important beating you is and what it means to the rest of us. Now, I know it's hard for you to see it through the other lens, but KU, you should know that we don't really beat you a whole lot. If you're a K-State, that's the eighth time that K-State has beaten Kansas since 1990. If you're Missouri, you don't beat them very often. If you're Iowa State, you don't beat them very often. So when you get the opportunity, and you also don't think you're going to be able to repeat it, like you're not going to be able to keep doing it, and you feel like you get your one shot, you're going to take your one shot to storm the court. So part of it is just you want to do something fun, you're in college. Another side of it is acknowledging that you are way better in basketball than us, and beating you is extremely hard to do and something that is worthy of a over-the-top celebration. That's what storming the court means to me. And I think that's what happened yesterday with K-State. I understand what people are saying. You were favored in the game. You should go into it expecting to win. But you got to look at it through the landscape of beating KU. It doesn't happen very often if you're Kansas State. 8 times since 1990. If you're Barry Brown, this could be the only chance. The last time. If you're Dean Wade, the last time. If you're Xavier Sneed, the last time. If you're a student, the last time. That's why they're storming the court, because beating Kansas is a tremendous accomplishment.
I understand that, and I get it, and I don't have a problem with K-State students doing it. That's not what I was saying. It just struck me as funny. It's not like, you know, I was at the game in, what was it, 2014-15 when, you know, when KU had Embiid and Andrew Wiggins, and K-State beat them. KU was ranked like 8th in the country at the time, and they stormed the court, and I got it. Like, I understood that, because K-State was a big-time underdog in that game. This one just felt different to me. I picked K-State to win this game. I thought they were going to win this game. Favored, coming off a great season, everybody healthy, seniors in Manhattan. You know, so that's because, and we talked about this yesterday, because I remember you saying this yesterday, C-Dot. You said if K-State wins, they should storm the court. And I was in agreement with you until I watched the game, and it was so clear to me that K-State was better than Kansas. And I knew it was going to happen, and then I started thinking about it. And that's where I'm like, can you storm the court when you beat number 13? I mean, what if Kansas is 25th next year for whatever reason, and K-State beats them again? Do you storm it then? You know, I mean, I'm curious where the cutoff is.
I would just keep storming the court every time you beat KU, because you just absolutely never know what the next time you beat. You could go 7 years without beating them again. That's just the kind of dominance that they've had. Someone on the text line who I assume is a KU fan. Hey, are you guys going to address the terrible officiating in last night's game, KU fans? You're not telling me that you want us to have the conversation of that the big bad officials were mean to you guys, are you? Come on. That's not the conversation that we're having.
Hey, they'll get payback when the game's in Lawrence.
We're not having the conversation of that the home refs were beneficial to the home team and that they were detrimental to the road team. That's not the conversation we're having with KU, because I've always been told that crying about officials is the war cry of losers. That's what I've been told, that you can't cry about officials, go out there on the court and beat them. So, no, we're not having any conversations about the officiating yesterday. No, not. I'm not doing it. Especially not KU fan complaining about the hometown calls that K-State was getting. Because believe me, you've been owed that. That bill has been due for a long time. So whatever happened yesterday, to my knowledge, you had it coming, in my mind. Coming up in just a little bit, I think that Bill Self's biggest weakness is showing through with this team, and his greatest strength is not coming through. I'll tell you what that is coming up. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
I'm going to go ahead and put on my flame-resistant suit, because I know the text line's not going to be very friendly during this next segment. The energy is already starting off very negative. Hey, Carrington, how's Missouri doing in the SEC? Not well.
Yeah.
They're not good this year.
How'd they do last night against number one Tennessee?
They did about as well as you can say for a team that doesn't have their second best player right now and, like, clearly is rebuilding against the number one team in the country. Not very good.
I thought
good.
It was one of their best played games of the season.
I mean, they play hard. They ain't very talented, but they play hard.
Yeah.
So, I watched a lot of KU basketball. I would say that Bill Self's biggest strength is, I've always said this, if you're going to go to college for one season, I don't know if I'd go to KU. I go to Duke or I go to Kentucky. But if my plan was to stay there for 3 or 4 years, I don't think there's a better place you can go to for Kansas. I have seen just overall transformations that Bill Self has had on players. Like, I remember watching Jeff Withey in the beginning, and I'm thinking, he is terrible.
Yeah.
And he turned into a lottery pick. Like, we can name player after player of guys who I didn't think were very talented, and then 4 years later or 3 years later, or guys that came in as the 90th recruit, a guy like Devontae Graham, a guy like Frank Mason, and you turn them into guys who are going to have their number retired up there with Wilt Chamberlain and Danny Manning. So if you are planning on being in college for four years, Kansas, there's no better place for you to go through. But I think one of his biggest weaknesses is, especially when you compare it by, we agree, the only teams that get the talent at the level that KU does in terms of elite freshmen are Duke and Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
This is the list of freshmen under Bill Self in this one and done era who did not come back for a second season. Joel Embiid. I didn't count Ben McLemore because we agree his situation is just different than some of these.
Because he was there before, right?
Redshirt year.
Yeah.
His year's different. So Joel Embiid, Andrew Wiggins, Kelly Oubre, Cliff Alexander, Josh Selby, Cheick Diallo, Xavier Henry, Josh Jackson, Quentin Grimes. Now, KU fans, answer this honestly. How many guys out of the list would you say that Bill Self got the most out of their ability? Maybe 50%?
Read the list again.
Joel Embiid, Andrew Wiggins, Kelly Oubre, Cliff Alexander, Josh Selby, Cheick Diallo, Xavier Henry, Josh Jackson, Quentin Grimes. Now, I'm putting Quentin Grimes on this list because he was a top 10 recruit. I had the stat earlier. Out of the last 50 kids who have been Rivals' top 10 kids, 90% of them go to the NBA. So the odds suggest that Quentin Grimes is not going to be back at KU next year, that he will at least try his hand at the NBA. Maybe he doesn't get drafted, but he goes to a D-League team, he goes overseas, and then tries to work his way. The system is not designed for Quentin Grimes to stay in college for multiple years. How many of those kids would you say that Bill Self got the most out of their ability? Because if we're going to give you that same list for Kentucky, if I'm going to give you that same list for Duke, Duke's one-and-done class over this year is better than any one-and-done they've ever had class at KU. It's like Zion, R.J. Barrett, Cameron Reddish. When we can go back to one-and-dones that have won championships, Justice Winslow, Jahlil Okafor. It is not close if we're talking about coaching talent up for 1 year. How many of these kids do you think KU got the most out of their ability? Because I'm sitting here and I'm looking at Quentin Grimes. And one of the big problems with KU is you are getting nothing from Quentin Grimes. He's bad. Like, there's just no other way to put it. Now, he looks like a typical freshman that you could put up with if he was the 91st ranked recruit. We wouldn't be having this conversation about Quentin Grimes. It would be expected. But it's not expected. He's the eighth kid in his class. Last year, the number eight kid was Quentin Grimes. This is part of, like, Bill Self does a lot of things incredibly well. One of his biggest weaknesses to me by far is ability to coach up one-and-done talent. He has not done that at an elite level when you compare it to the other two coaches that get anything close to the amount of talent that KU does.
I mean, the two names that popped for me, and maybe two and a half, actually, I think he got as much as he could out of Joel Embiid.
I agree. I agree.
Embiid, he's number one on the list. Kelly Oubre, I think, you know, I can't imagine what Kelly Oubre would have been like if he stuck around. And then the other one to me is Josh Jackson, and that's it. I don't think he got the most out of Andrew Wiggins. I think Wiggins is soft in the NBA right now. I think he makes a hell of a lot of money, but I don't think he's, as you say, C-Dot, I don't think he has a dog in him. The other guys, those Josh Jackson maybe, definitely Joel Embiid, and I think he got as much as he could out of Kelly Oubre. And that's it on this list, in my opinion.
So we can say more times than not, when he gets high school prospects as talented as Quentin Grimes, he does not get the most out of them. Now, I'm not blaming all KU's problems on Quentin Grimes, but part of the problem with this KU team is they got a guy that's playing 20, 25 minutes who doesn't seem to do a lot of things incredibly well.
Well, I think maybe you answered your own question, because earlier in the show you were asking, why are we not harder on Quentin Grimes than we are? And I think you may have answered your question. It's because, and I feel this way too, I'm used to seeing, you know, top 10, high-end one-and-dones underperform at Kansas. I'm used to that. You know, so when people get fired up about, oh, we just got Josh Selby, we just got Xavier Henry, we got Xavier Henry, we got all these dudes. I'm like, I got to see them play.
Okay, but I'm saying is you are somewhat unhappy with the streak. Not unhappy with the streak,
I'm over it.
You want more postseason success.
Correct.
The only teams that have more postseason success than KU are teams that we agree do a lot better at this than KU. Duke is much better at one-and-done talent than KU is. I can give you the list of one-and-done Duke kids over the last 5 years. It makes your list look silly. I can give you the Kentucky list over the last 5 years. Their list make yours look silly. We agree. Those are two teams.
Let me ask you this, though. What if Zion Williamson was at KU?
But he's not.
Okay, but I'm like, you get Zion Williamson here at KU, and then that list looks completely different.
Agreed, but he doesn't go there.
You're right. I'm with you. But, I mean, everybody wanted Josh Jackson just as much as they wanted Zion Williamson. Would you agree with that?
No, I agree with you. I mean, I'm giving you credit for the guys you've recruited.
Yeah.
I'm also knocking off when guys haven't performed. Josh Shaw was the number one player in his class. He wasn't that good.
Yeah.
Quentin Grimes, number eight kid in his class. Not that good. So that's one part of it. Again, I think that Self is the best in college basketball. Better than Coach K, better than Calipari. And if you're going to stay multiple years, getting the most out of you.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think he's got the most out of Vic? Because I'm looking at this team in terms of player development. Part of their problem is Vic has not developed into a close enough player. Where maybe it's going to come second half of the season because Newman had that same problem. Wayne Seldon had the same problem. You're thinking, man, underperforming. Then something clicked. They had that second year.
Yeah.
I'm trying to see it for LeGerald Vick. I'm trying to see what that next level is for LeGerald Vick, because the clock is about to hit midnight on his college basketball career. What, he's got 15 games left?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that second gear, at least not consistently. That, again, part of their problem is LeGerald Vick, he's up and down, so this team is very up and down.
Here's the thing, though, when it comes to coaching, and I think parents out there could probably relate to this as well, and I'm a rookie step-parent, so I certainly am not trying to come off like I know everything when it comes. I don't. I mean, you can't possibly know that. But sometimes you can't get through to them. You know, sometimes you can't get through to a kid. You know, whether it's a coach, whether it's a parent, whether it's a teacher-student relationship, sometimes you just can't get through to him. And I think Bill knew that. And I think that's why he gave his number away and told LeGerald Vick to beat it. I think that's why he did that to Nadir Tharp. Beat it. I can't get through to you. It's not working here. So, LeGerald Vick, to me, is what he is. Again, if you're going to try to, like, depend on LeGerald Vick, a guy like that that Bill Self didn't even want on his team and gave his number away and had to bring him back out of necessity – Self, to me, had given up on Vic as it was. So I think you're getting out of LeGerald Vic kind of what he always was. I mean, I was more surprised by LeGerald Vic getting off to such a hot start than what's happening right now.
Then your team's not going very far in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, it certainly doesn't feel like that right
but
now.
But I would say right now, Self's biggest responsibility is to get more out of LeGerald Vic and to get more out of Quentin Grimes.
Yeah.
If you can do those two things, KU has a chance to make a
run.
Can
we agree that even the greatest coaches of all time can't get through to certain players?
Agreed.
Yeah, I think that's where Self is right now with Vic. I'm certainly not giving up on Grimes. The kid's a freshman. But Self had 3 years with Vic. He knew exactly what he had. He wanted to give the scholarship to somebody else.
No, I don't disagree with you that sometimes you can try different coaching methods and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
Then KU's going to play just one weekend in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it looks like to me.
The team that I'm watching right now, but I'm saying is this is Bill's job. This is why Bill's in the Naismith Hall of Fame.
Sure.
This is why Bill's a great coach. This is why Bill's, makes $4 million a year. Your job over the next month is to try to get as much as you can out of Quentin Grimes and then turn him into a player who's a top 10 prospect. Your job over the next month is to get as much out of LeGerald Vick as possible. Udoka's not coming back. Silvio's not coming back. This is the roster. Your roster is a walk-on or a redshirt freshman in Abaji. A very up-and-down freshman in Dotson, Grimes, who's giving you nothing, Vic, Diedrich Lawson, Mitch Lightfoot. You got to find a way to get the most out of this talent, because we agree, KU's making the tournament. It's not like I'm saying they're missing the tournament. KU's going to be a 3 seed, maybe a 4 seed in the NCAA tournament. Maybe you can turn things around and still win the Big 12. You got to find a way to get the most out of the parts that they have. And Bill has not gotten the most out of these parts. He has not gotten the most out of Vic. He's not gotten the most out of Grimes. This roster, say what you will about it, they were the number one team ranked at the beginning of the season. I know you lost Udoka. There's still way more than enough talent that you should not be 1-6 on the road the way KU is. That for your last two road games, you realistically have not had a chance to win them. At K-State yesterday, we agree, second half didn't really appear to have a chance to win that game. Was always playing for behind. At Texas, was always playing for behind.
Not even close.
Going on the road, getting smoked by Iowa State. Like, some of that has to be on the coach. And some of that has to be on the person making $4 million.
No, it is, for sure. I'm not saying it's not. At all. I'm not making excuses for Bill Self. And my guess would be if he's sitting here, he's saying the exact same things that you're saying. That he's not getting through to his team and they're not responding. There's certain guys you can't get to. And I think LeGerald Vick's in that camp. That's all I'm saying.
Coming up in just a little bit, I rank KU's 5 biggest problems that I see right now. I'll tell you what the list is. Coming up, it's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
We caught up with Bruce in Manhattan. We'll play that for you coming up in just a little bit. We were just talking about this. Is obviously, Bill Self has a lot of incredible strengths. He's a Hall of Famer. He might be the best coach in college basketball. But he has weaknesses the way that everybody else does. I think if you look at it, one of his biggest weaknesses is just coaching one-and-done talent. This is the list. Embiid, Wiggins, Oubre, Alexander, Selby, Sheck Diallo, Xavier Henry, Josh Jackson, and I think Quentin Grimes is going to be a one and done. He was the number 8 kid in his class. Most of those kids declare. I don't think that he's done a really good job when you compare it to his contemporaries in John Calipari and Mike Krzyzewski of coaching one and done talent. And then I think his biggest strength is coaching kids that stay 3-4 years. When I look at Vic and I look at his lack of development, especially during the season, I look at those as being some of the biggest problems that KU has. So I made a list because I was like, all right, how would I kind of settle it down? How would I say or rank KU's 5 biggest problems? I put Udoka's injury number 1. I think a lot of the offensive problems that KU have and having that dog and somebody that you could trust to go get you a bucket and somebody that just puts fear into the other team, I think Udoka provides that. Some of the alley-oops, some of the easy buckets, how easy it is to get inside the lane would just be completely different if Kansas had Udoka Azubuike. Vic played a lot better whenever teams would double-team Udoka Azubuike. They would kick out. He would get a shot. Udoka's injury has just drastically changed how this KU team scores and how they defend. That I think KU would be far and away the best team in the Big 12, and they were far and away the best team in the Big 12 when they had Udoka Azubuike. That has nothing to do with self, nothing to do with Legere, nothing to do with Quentin Grimes. Udoka Azubuike is the biggest problem right now with KU. Of they don't have him right now, they don't have his presence, and that's obviously causing a lot of problems for this team. Number two, I put Vic's inconsistencies. I just think that teams take on the personality of their best player. And this team is up and down because he's up and down. You don't know what you're going to get from a game-in, game-out basis. KU fans, over the year, you think about you had known production going into every game. I know what Devontae is going to be. I know what Josh Jackson is going to be. I know what fill-in-the-blank really good KU player of the last couple of years. Going into it, I don't know if Vic's going to give you 25 minutes. I don't know if he's going to give you 35 minutes. I don't know if he's going to have 20 points or 8 points. Like, it is so wildly inconsistent what he's going to give you on a game-in, game-out basis that creates a lot of problems for this current KU roster.
But isn't that the whole – that's been like LeGerald's Vic's entire career, though, man. I mean, you can't just all of a sudden – he comes back when self didn't want him, then you expect him to be super consistent. I mean, the thing that's consistent about Vic is that he's inconsistent.
But right now, this team needs his consistency. That some teams didn't need Vic. Vic could very easily be the seventh best player in your team. This KU team needs him to be their second best player because of all the things that have happened.
Yeah, and so I just don't think it's capable.
So I'm with you.
I don't think he's capable.
Expectations for Legere Vic was, hey, you could be a nice two-man. You could be a nice three-man. You don't need to be our best player. This KU team, in order to do the things you want them to do in the NCAA tournament, they need him to be their second best player.
Yeah, and I don't think that's realistic, to
be honest with you. Well, then this team ain't going very far.
Yeah, I know. And that's the way I feel about it right now, too. I'm not counting on LeGerald Vic to be the guy that's going to – he's not going to pull a Malik Newman and lead you through the Big 12 tournament in the NCAA. That ain't happening.
The thing is, I just don't know with LeGerald Vic. Like, I would not be surprised in the least bit if he gets really hot in March and just has a really good 8-game stretch similar to Malik Newman that kind of carries this team because it's Kansas and because they just always seem to find a way. I put Quentin Grimes in effectiveness at number 3 for me in KU's 5 biggest problems. I think if he was just adequate, if you could trust the minutes that he gives you, I think you would feel really differently about this KU team. That one of the big differences yesterday was just guard play yesterday between these two teams. Kansas State is just, they have better guards than KU does. And part of it's just Quinn Grimes. Like yesterday, he gave you nothing yesterday.
Yeah,
like,
part of it's youth too. I mean, you're talking about seniors on the other side for K-State. You know, and then you've got a couple of freshmen in Grimes and Dotson though too. I mean, that's part of it.
Yeah, I mean, I guess to me, I'm not holding that when I look at Duke and I look at some of the freshmen that they have.
I get it.
Then I look at Quentin Grimes of, you were supposed to be a one-and-done kid. You were a McDonald's All-American. You had 6 points in yesterday's game, only took 4 shots, wasn't very assertive, didn't get to the free throw line. You did nothing to help KU win yesterday. So I got Quentin Grimes as number 3 on my list. I got 4, lack of shooting. Who do you trust on this KU team to consistently hit open shots?
I don't trust anybody. Maybe Dedrick Lawson, maybe. But he's at the top of the list for me. That's it.
You don't have anybody on this team that you think can, I would say, A, be able to create their own shot. And Dotson can create a shot a little bit, so I don't say anybody. I don't know if he can consistently do it, but he can get to the basket. He can use his speed. He's got a good enough handle that he can do it. That's about it for me. Dedrick Lawson is not a guy that I think that can consistently create his own shot. And if you're telling me that guy is your spot-up shooter, that he's your three-point shooter,
then you're screwed.
Then that's a serious problem for the team. And I would say number 5 is Silvio being out. I think you just see that this KU team, which is different than KU teams before because of Udoka's injury and because of Silvio being out because of the NCAA stuff, is who's your rim protector?
Yeah, they don't have one.
Mitch Lightfoot was getting significant minutes yesterday.
Yeah.
Mitch Lightfoot shouldn't be playing on this team. Like, this was a little bit of Missouri, and I did take a little bit of pride in this. Like, I haven't watched a KU team in a while, and I'm thinking, like, man, these guys wouldn't play at Missouri. Like, I'm watching Mitch Lightfoot, and I'm thinking, yikes. I'm watching KJ
Lawson.
Mitch
played good last night.
He played good for the first, like, 5 minutes of the game.
For Mitch Lightfoot, he played good last night.
Yeah, no, yeah. Mitch Lightfoot gave you a good 5 minutes in the beginning, didn't really give you a whole lot outside of that. When I'm looking at KJ Lawson, KJ Lawson is very happy that he's Dedrick's brother because I don't know if he's a major D1 player.
He's CJ Henry is who he is, right?
Like, he shouldn't be playing either in this. Charlie Moore, maybe he's going to be a good junior for you, a good senior for you down the road. Charlie Moore is another guy that I just don't think should be playing right now. That you need your stars to be stars and carry your team. Vic should be carrying this team. Quentin Grimes, being a top 10 recruit, should be carrying this team. Dedrick Lawson should be carrying this team. They do it at home. They are not carrying you on the road, and that's why you find yourself 1-6.
Yeah, and Silvio being out is number five on there, and I'm with you on that too, man. The thing that I would put on here, they don't have any leadership on this team either. I mean, I think it's pretty clear that there's no leader on this basketball team because LeGerald Vick can't be that guy.
I won't say that there's no leader. I don't think there is a type A on the team.
Yeah, there's no Devontae Graham. There's no Frank Mason. There's no Thomas Robinson. There's nobody like that. And you got to have that. What's K-State got? Maybe three of those guys? At least two in Wade and Barry Brown? I mean, K doesn't have any of that right now. And when you're a young team like that, you've got to have somebody that's your leader. And the only senior they have is LeGerald Vick, and we all know he's not a leader, right? LeGerald Vick can't play that role for you. So that's why I think KU right now is rudderless. And I think that's what's screwing them, because I do believe that they have enough talent to be playing much better than they are right now. But they don't have any experience, and they got one senior that shouldn't be the leader on this basketball team. You can't look up to LeGerald Vick.
Plus, I think that K-State just has guys that set the energy. Like, early on in that game, Jada set the energy defensively of, I'm going to be up in your grill. I'm going to guard you the full way. I'm going to be athletic. I'm going to do that stuff. Remember, Xavier Snead got that big-time block, and he knocked it into the stands.
Mm-hmm.
KU doesn't have anybody that does that. No. Like, you need guys that can set the tone. Kind of like a trailer, Jamari Traylor. Like, he was one of those kind of guys. Energy guy, comes in the game and gives you a lot of production. KU just doesn't seem to have that guy. So that's my list. That's my five things I think are KU's biggest problem. Udoka's out, Vic's inconsistencies, Quentin Grimes' ineffectiveness, lack of shooting, and Silvio DeSosa's out. We'll get back to the game coming up in just a little bit, but I was very happy to receive a call today. At first, was it
after the game? Was it like late in the morning?
No, it was this morning.
So it's like from Aggieville, probably what, 2-3 in the morning or what?
No, it was like 9 o'clock. It was from a block number.
Oh, was it?
I didn't know what it was at first. I was thinking it was a bill collector, but then it called back twice. Got it. Like, all right, you know, let me answer the phone.
Uh-huh.
And it was Bill in Manhattan. He was feeling kind of good.
In Manhattan.
Yeah, Bruce in Manhattan. He was feeling kind of good.
Bill would have been a different kind of call.
Yeah, Bill might have been in Aggieville as well, getting tanked after that game.
An angry call. Here's what Bruce in Manhattan had to say to us after the game.
Guess who's back, bitch? Yeah, that's right. It's Brucey, and I got some I get to talk. I waited damn years to drag these, so I'm going to do it. Feels good to finally say that it's over, baby. The Jayhawks are done. Not even Will Ferrell can save Kansas from going streaking. I was so proud of our guys in the second half. Best night ever on the play hard chart. We had the defense. We had the swagger. We had the big-time athletes. We needed that one, man. And I would have done anything to finally beat Kansas. Well not anything. You know, I'm not the guy from the Fire Festival documentary, but I would have thought about it. And that Cartier jar of window, man, that got the Octagon of Doom into a frenzy. Your boy was pouring all the tequila shots after that. Put a whole new meaning on Casamigos. And, yeah, they'll probably still beat us in Lawrence because Baby J dresses up in referee's clothes anytime there's a game there. But they'll get some more call that bails them out. But we're going to enjoy this one, man. To quote Miley Cyrus, we can't stop. We won't stop. Weber out.
I'm very happy for Bruce in Manhattan that you get a chance to celebrate a big-time win, you know? I understand it was a late night for you guys. It's the first time you beat KU in your last 9 tries.
8 o'clock tip. The weather was bad, too. I'm glad he was safe getting home.
Go out there and celebrate, you know? I mean, Bruce Weber, I mean, that's only the third time you've beat Bill Self since you've been there. Like, you got to cherish those opportunities. Yeah. They don't come very often. So when you get a chance to celebrate, let your hair down a little bit, you go out there and do it.
I hope Bruce in Manhattan got an Uber home last night from Aggieville for being down there, you know? I mean, sure, it was a late one for him. 8 o'clock tip, which means he probably didn't get down there, you know, until... You know, I'm guessing close to, 11:30-ish maybe. I'm just glad he got home safe and he was able to, give you a shout in the morning, C-Dot.
Coming up in 2 minutes, we'll get to the top stories of the day in Kansas City. It's The Drive.
The Drive, presented by Tecate.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world.
Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.